You guys look fabulous today. Somebody said it took you long enough to say it. Listen, let me begin by apologizing to our production team up there. They work tirelessly hard, and y'all gonna have to let them make it this morning because I messed around and didn't get this stuff to them in time. And so we're going to go with the flow. I think we still remember how to flip in our Bibles, correct? All right. If you forgot, just say, Pastor, slow down. And I'll slow down for you. The choir makes their way in. There is a word this morning. Found in the Old Testament historical book of 2 Samuel, right around chapter number 6, when you found it, I would ask that you would stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word. We will pause for a second as the choir makes their way in. The Old Testament historical book of 2 Samuel. Our text this morning is going to be in chapter number 6, verses 1 through 7. I'd like to read in your hearing 2 Samuel chapter number 6, just one verse. Verse number 9, if you will. When you have it, say amen. Second Samuel, chapter number six, beginning with verse number 9. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Here's how my Bible reads. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. North Oaks, I'd just like to speak briefly this morning from this subject. Lethal worship 2. Lethal worship 2. The record is that the men of Beth Shemesh posed two deeply poignant interrogatives. First of all, they said, 1 Samuel chapter number 6, verse 20, they said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God?" Number two, they asked, "And to whom shall he go up from us?" And then also, it is that King David, fearing the Lord that day, said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" There in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse 9. This morning, Larry, I posed the question, shall a man question the perfect plan or complain about the righteous judgment of God and live? I'm scratching my head. I'll ask that question again, Larry. Shall a man question the perfect plan or complain about the righteous judgment of the true and living God and live? This morning, I want to wrestle with this question, if you will. You know, for some time now, Karina and I have known that Gabriel Jr. desired to enjoy all the deliciousness and nutritiousness of the food he saw Mommy and Daddy eating. As if he were to say, "Don't y'all think that y'all gonna sit in front of me and feast on steak and potatoes and then go to the cabinet and reach and grab a jar of squash puree and try to feed it to me." It wasn't long before we finally realized that indeed Junior could eat all the delicious and nutritious foods that we ate, as long as we cut it up for him in little pieces so he could digest it, Fred. This morning, North Oaks, I don't want anybody to choke this morning, so let me cut this up first so that we can all digest this message. Is that all right? 2 Samuel is all about the reign of David as king over the people of God. We're all familiar with David, are we not? Samuel, commissioned by the Lord following his rejection of Saul, travels to Bethlehem and anoints David, a youth, as God's choice as king. You can confer with 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And at the age of 30, David is appointed king over Judah at Hebron, where he reigns 7.5 years. You can confer with 2 Samuel chapter number 2. Then over all Israel, again at Hebron, where he reigns 33.5 more years. You can confer with 2 Samuel chapter number 5. In fact, that was the chapter before today's text. And family, I can appreciate what King David is seeking to accomplish here in our text, because last week we discovered the Ark of God, that is, Israel's glory, the very presence of God, had been residing apart from the people of God in a place called Kiriath Jearim. And the ark had been in the house of a man, the priest, by the name of Abinadab, on the hill at Baali Judah, or Kiriath Jearim. You can confer with 1 Chronicles chapter number 13, verse 6, and you will realize that they're the same place ever since the disaster at Beth Shemesh. Oh, I think I can bring our memories back to the disaster at Beth Shemesh. It took place there in 1 Samuel chapter number 6, right around verse 17. Turn there with me, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter number 6, beginning with verse 17, we have a record of the disaster. "These are the golden tumors which the Philistines returned for a gift offering to the Lord, one for Ashdod, one for Gaza, one for Ashkelon, one for Gath, one for Ekron. The golden mice, according to all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both the fortified cities of country villages, the large stone on which they set the ark of the Lord, a witness to this day in the field of Joshua the Beth Shemite." And here is the disaster, verse 19. "He struck down," he being God, "some of the men of Beth Shemesh." Why? "Because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. He struck down all of the people, 50,070 men. Now, this is one of those places in scripture we have probably a mistranslation. Many other of the Masoretic texts are going to have 70 men. So we will read it that way. 70 men, and the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. The men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God?" And to whom shall he go up from us? They said, we got to get rid of this thing. Sound like what those crazy Philistines said. Verse 21, so they sent messengers to the inhabitants of where? Kiriath-Jearim, saying, the Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up to you. Chapter number 7, verse 1, and the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And finally, verse 2, from the day that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim, the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Family, ultimately, the ark remained there about some 100 years before David successfully got it to Jerusalem on his second attempt, which occurred about 3 months after today's text. Effectively, this morning's message, North Oaks, Lethal Worship 2 serves as somewhat of a sequel to last week's message. Your enemies can't steal your glory. Hence the two. Just one chapter earlier, in 1 Samuel chapter number 5, David is anointed king over all Israel. Immediately after his promotion, we see him prioritizing Israel's glory. That is, David prioritizes the presence of God. And while I can appreciate David's motives, the fact that they were pure here in chapter number 6, I must acknowledge that his methodology was perverted. David should have considered what went awry some 100 years prior when the men of Beth Shemesh failed to heed God's word concerning transporting Israel's glory, that is, the presence of God, through Moses. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Samuel chapter number 6, right around verse 8. This will be the conclusion of our text this morning. Our text being 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verses 1 through 7. Look at verse 8. Sometimes we watch these movies, and when the movie starts, you get a glimpse of the ending. And then they go back through and tell the story. I told you I was going to cut this thing up for y'all, okay? Look at it there, 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse 8. David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah. And that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? And David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him, but David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Here's the thing, beloved. Sometimes when we draw near to God, the worshiper can become careless of the holiness of God. And God's just response may cause us to question God or to complain to God. North Oaks, it's times like this when God allows us to question his plans or maybe even complain about his process, as long as we do not question what God has purposed as holy. Let me say that again. It's times like these, North Oaks, when God allows us as his children to question his plans or maybe even to complain about the process, as long as we do not question what God has purposed as holy. And God's holiness is an attribute of his character, Jill. No man can impugn the character of God, Jane. You don't believe it, you can confer with Romans 9. But again, there are times when God does allow us to question or complain about his plan. You don't believe it? The Lord, in fact, gave us a whole psalm to prove this point, written by the hand of none other than this same David. Look at Psalm 13, if you will. Somebody said, Pastor, you don't give us time to turn. You act as if we know this stuff like the back of our hands. Psalm 13. Listen to the word of God. How long, O Lord? This is David writing, family. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? This is David questioning God. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? What is the meaning of this, God? That's Gabriel's interpretation. That's not in the text. Verse 3, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. This thing gonna kill me if you don't tell me what's going on, God. That too is Gabriel's interpretation. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my adversaries will rejoice when I am shaking. But I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dwelt bountifully with me. Family, David recognized all that God had accomplished in his life. And he responded, my first order of business as king, I've got to bring back the glory. David says, I've got to bring back the glory. And maybe somebody's here today. Maybe some here today find themselves in a similar situation as David. Maybe you recognize God's hand over your life, but it seems as though the glory of the very presence of God has been absent in your home. Or maybe it seems like the presence of God, your glory has been absent on your job. Perhaps it seems that, God, I know you're working, but it looked like the glory is absent in my finances. Anybody ever been there? Family, I'm here on assignment this morning to let you know that God is saying, it's time you brought back your glory. That's a good place to clap. I'm here on assignment letting us know, family, that God has said it's time that we bring back our glory. And it's okay if you got some questions. I don't even mind your complaints, but I will not waver in my holiness. So I'm prescribing some steps to ensure your success. I like it when God talks to me like that, don't y'all? I'll share these with you when I'm in my seat. First of all, Northos, God says, before you draw near to me, be sure that you resolve to consult with me first. Somebody say resolve to consult with God first. Oh, don't take my word for it. It's right there in verse number 1. 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse 1. Somebody said, you're trying to fool us, Pastor. You up there typing, ain't you? That's exactly what I'm doing. So what? 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse 1. Listen to the word of God. Now, David again like my old English teacher used to say, again, gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Did you catch it? Let me read it again. Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Northos, it looks as though the king consulted with everybody but God. Y'all see that? Somebody said, Pastor, I know you done lost it now because I don't see that. Tell you what, let's hear it from the chronicler's perspective. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 1. Turn it with me, if you will. Real close in your Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, listen to what it says there. Indeed, David did consult with everybody but God. Then David consulted with the captains of the thousands and the captains of the hundreds, even with every leader. David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it's from the Lord our God, let us send everywhere to our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, also to the priests and the Levites who are with them in their cities with pasture lands, that they may meet with us. And let us bring back the ark of our God to us. But we did not seek it in the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. Do y'all see it? It seems as though David, in his carelessness, consulted with everybody except God when he sought to bring back the glory. Undoubtedly, the Apostle Paul would categorize David's dealings with Israel's glory here, the presence of God. Here is having zeal without knowledge. That, my friend, is a dangerous thing. God says he's going to prescribe some step for us. Some steps that he might ensure our success. God says, North Oaks, if you're going to draw near to me, you need to first resolve to consult with me first. But secondly, are you interested? God said, before you draw near to me, respect the consistency of my word. Respect the consistency of my word. Don't take my word for it. It's right there in 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse 3. Look at the first part of verse 3 in our text. Are we there? Look at what it says there. They placed the ark of God on a new cart that they might bring it up, bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. They placed the ark of God on a new cart that they might bring it up, bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. Dave, I believe this was a violation of God's word. And indeed, this was a violation of God's express statute. If you confer with Numbers, chapter number 4, verse 15, it clearly states that no one was to transport the ark that way. It was a methodology to it. In fact, the ark had some rings, some golden rings on it. And the priests, the Levites, were supposed to stick wood, sticks, acacia poles through the rings. And the priests were supposed to carry the ark on their shoulder. What's with this new cart trash? I wonder, Fred, Martha, y'all sitting way back there today, my eyes ain't that good. I wonder where they could have come up with such a ridiculous idea. Oh, that's right. Last week, 1 Samuel chapter number 6, verse 7 through 9. Y'all remember the Philistines, their diviners, they said, hey, we got to figure out how to get rid of this thing. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to build a new cart. We're going to put the ark on the cart and we're going to send it back. And y'all know all those other things they did. I think this is what happened. Somebody said, King, I got an idea. He said, since the Lord accepted the ignorance of the Philistines, surely God will accept our presumptuous irreverence and willful ignorance. Let's put it on a new cart. See, if we put it on a new cart, we'll know that the cart hasn't been defiled, but we'll still do it our way. Let me help somebody. Somebody said, King, I got an idea. They said, it was good enough for God back then. So God will take what we give us now. Jimmy, I know a few folks that's tried to act like that. I stand back away from them when I hear them talking like that. I just step back. Family, God says, those who draw near to worship while taking unlicensed liberties will incur judgments. That's right, Wayne. This is one of those messages. The parameters have been established and they do not change. They are the precepts and the concepts of the Word of God. Let me help you. Here are the precepts. The precepts are the rules God has set in His Word that I dictate how we behave, i.e. the Decalogue. That's the Ten Commandments. Those are the precepts. What about the concepts? The concepts are general truths about God and His character revealed in His Word. God is strong and we are weak. As a matter of fact, that's one of the first things I learned as a little boy. Y'all remember, Jesus loves me, this I know. Oh, the Bible tells me so. Look at this part right here. Little ones to Him belong. And here it is. They are weak, but He is. Now, how we learn that as kids and we forget it so quick. We get grown, we get some education, we get some experience, and we think we know how to tell God, you're going to accept the worship I give you, take it or leave it. And that's effectively what the king did here. You saw I just read it. He consulted with everybody. And yet nobody said, King, you're about to make a grave mistake. Listen, I hope I got somebody in here. When y'all see me getting ready to do something stupid, now, I'm not talking about what you don't like, okay? I'm talking about what is contrary to the Word of God. Anybody in here, Avery, you got a green light. You say, Pastor, I read it in the Bible. Now, you got to be able to say that. The Word of God says here, this is how it's supposed to be done. And look like you're about to do it this way. Thank you, Avery. Let me fix myself. Avery says, stop singling me out. I don't like this. Northos, God says, I'm prescribing some steps to ensure your success. Before you draw near me and worship, be sure that you resolve to consult with me first. Be sure that you respect the consistency of my word. Don't forego the precepts and the concepts. But then God says, thirdly, refrain from conflating our names. Refrain from conflating our names. It says so there. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. We are weak. I am weak, but he is strong. God says, refrain from conflating our name. It right there in verse 2 of our text, 2 Samuel chapter number 6. I want you to look at verse 2, and then I want you to look at the second part of 3b. I told you I was going to cut this up a little bit, but you're going to get it nonetheless. Look at what it says. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal-Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name. My Bible says to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name. Y'all don't know when to shout. Is it really going to take me 6 more months? Sandra, say it ain't so. 6 more months? The Bible says, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal-Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name. The very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. Look at the second part of verse 3. Bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading. Okay, that's not my phone, so somebody needs to knock that off. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the new cart. Here it is, Northos. God says, I love my people. Listen, I'm not mad about the phone, okay? I was just joking. I'm glad you stopped it, but I'm not mad, whoever that was. God says, I love my people. God says, and I know that you mean good. But I am that I am. My character is immutable, my word is impeccable, and my name shall forever be above reproach. North Oaks, I want to share with you, I did a quick little etymological analysis of the name Uzzah in the Hebrew, and guess what I found out? The name Uzzah means might or strength. The name Uzzah means might or strength. God says, tell my people, refrain from conflating our name. God said, I'm strong and you are weak. And could it be? Just like Uzzah, sometimes we think that we can help God in our own strength. See, if I'm doing something good, God, it's okay if I step just a little bit outside of your, because look, I'm doing a good thing, God, you about to fall. I've seen some folk fall, and it's just human nature to want to reach out. My wife fell down a whole flight of stairs. I wasn't there when she fell. I heard it, though, and it didn't sound good. It's human nature to want to reach out and help. Are y'all awake this morning? Y'all ain't never seen nobody fall before. Ain't it human nature to want to reach out? Listen, even folk that can't know they ain't got no strength in their body, they'll faint like they're going to reach out. It's human nature. God says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. May we never get it twisted and think that we in our own might and our own human effort can do anything good, especially when it contradicts the word of God. We got to rely on whose might? God's might. God says, before you draw near to me, in order that you might be successful, resolve to consult with me first, respect the consistency of my word, refrain from conflating our names. They are weak, but he is strong. Fourthly and finally, God says, revere me as a consuming fire. Revere me as a consuming fire is right there in verses 4-7. How many know that we serve a God of order? Do y'all really believe that? Look at verse number 4. 2 Samuel chapter number 6, verse 4. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab. It is going to be the new cart, y'all. So they brought the new cart with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. And I said to myself, I said, God, why is this last little clause? Why you add that in here? And Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. And so I started to look in and I started thinking about it. This is a picture of being out of order in worship. Let me say that again. This is a picture, a heel walking head of the cart is a picture of being out of order in worship. Y'all remember Joshua's reverent orders to Israel when they carried the ark across the Jordan? There was an order or a method to the mission. Turning your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 3. I want to read verses 2, 3, and 11. Joshua chapter number 3. Pastor saying they were out of order. Let me show it to you in the word. Joshua chapter number 3, verse 2. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp and they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priest carrying it. Is that in your Bible? Then you shall set out from the place, from your place, and go after it. You see the order? When you see the ark goes, you follow the ark. Look at verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you. Do y'all see that? Into the Jordan. Does it say that the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts is going to be behind you? It says it's going to be ahead of you. That's what my Bible says. A family, we must follow God's order in worship. We cannot expect to draw near to God in worship and live if we disregard the holiness of God's order. Y'all know in Ephesians 5, we're going to get there in Bible study. God said, here's the order. Christ is the head of the church. Uh-huh. The man is the head of the woman. Uh-huh. So if the Jill and Chris, come up here if you will. Come up here if you will. Y'all can make it. Come on. Come on up. Jill said, I know he didn't just call me, but she was obedient. Y'all give her a hand as she comes up. Let me give you the picture of God's order. We have God here. Turn this way for me. Turn this way for me. Y'all facing that way. Okay. God is in front of you, Chris. Amen. Chris said, amen. This brother gets it. And Jill, Chris is in front of Jill. And I want y'all to just walk that way. Just walk. This is the way it's supposed to look. Okay. Okay. All right. Stop. We're going to come back this way. What y'all got to switch some things, right? God back in front. Hold on. Slow down, Chris. Chris said, I've been waiting on this chance. God God in front of Chris. God is leading Chris. Chris is leading Jill. All right, come on, let's go this way. All right, great. Stop right there. Stop right there. Do y'all remember what happened with Adam's disordered catastrophe? Instead of following the word of God, let's get back in formation here. We got God, Chris, Jill. Adam, instead of following the word of God, he says, you know, I think I'm going to follow my wife. Okay? So we got God here. Okay, y'all flip this way. No. Just turn. See, in order to be disobedient, you actually got to turn away from what's true. All right. Now start walking. That's enough. I don't even want to see that. Y'all give them a hand. Give them a hand. And you might think, why Pastor do all that? Let me ask you something. How's that working out for us? How's that working out for us today? It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. North Oaks vibrant worship does not excuse irreverent transgression. It's right there in verse 5. It's right there in verse 5. Look at our text, 2 Samuel, chapter number 6, verse 5. I like when I see these transitional words in scripture. Look at what verse 5 say. Meanwhile, okay, let me catch us up. Verse 4, so they bought it, the new cart, with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, all out of order. And Ahio was walking ahead of the ark. Look at verse 5. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. First Chronicles chapter number 13, verse 8. The chronicler has us know that David and all of Israel celebrated before the Lord with all their might. Go look it up if you don't believe it. With all their might. They celebrated before the Lord as Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Here's the picture of them driving the cart. No, it wasn't a car. It basically means Uzzah was next to the oxen as he pulled the new cart with Israel's glory resting on it. A complete violation of God's word. And Ahio, as crazy as he was out in front of God. That's the picture. They weren't driving it. They were guiding it, so to speak. And yet, as we shall soon see, God does not allow his holiness to be defiled. Let me help somebody. This means that all your hallelujahs, all your amens, no matter how demonstrative they may be, will not skirt God's holiness. We won't even use that language no more. You trying to skirt around here? You trying to skirt around what I said? There is no dancing. There is no shouting. There is no singing. There is no lifting of hands. There is no stomping of feet that can skirt God's holiness. Now, we can cut up and we can run out of here and we can act crazy and fall all over the place. But if we're acting irreverent toward the word of God, we ought to watch out. Somebody said, we want you to preach good to us, Pastor. What is you doing? I love it. I love it. This, you might not think this is good, but this will keep you alive. This will keep you alive. God says, revere me as a consuming fire. God's holiness stands. Right there in verse 6 and 7. We're about to meet that interlude we gave in the beginning. Look at verse 6. And I like that little conjunction, but. Because what it does, it shifts everything in the other direction. Kind of like Jill and Chris and Jill there. Jill said, Chris, let me get in charge. You see how when she got in front, it shifted everything? When they turn, that's what but does. It turns what we just had in Scripture. Scripture just said they dance and they shout before the Lord and the ark with all their might. And verse 6 is about to flip that thing. Look at verse 6. But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah, remember I told you, walking next to the ark, reached out toward the ark of God and actually touched it and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. And God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died, somebody said, right there by the ark of God. Now, I was looking at this thing and I was like, why did they put in there that it happened, Samuel, when they got to the threshing floor? And I said, God, so everything is in here for a reason. I was thinking, here's what I came up with. If you read this account several times, you would hear it say that the ark went to Abinadab's house on a hill. 1 Samuel chapter number 6, verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter number 7, verse 1 and 2 said, the Beth-Shemite said, get this thing out of here. He sent to the man at Kiriath-Jearim and said, come get this thing. And said, they put it in the house of Abinadab on the hill. And when you read our text today, several times in there it said, the ark was in Abinadab's house on the hill. And so they left there and they're headed back to Israel. Can't you see it? David and all the people shouting, dancing. They're playing the instruments. Uh-oh. Uzzah reached forward and gets struck dead. Bible says that it happened at the threshing floor. Interestingly, the threshing floor is usually a flat piece of land where the Israelites, or the people of God, could harness the wind. They could harness the wind to help them work the harvest. And they would get the grain and they would beat it on the threshing floor. And right about that time, the wind would come through because it was on a hill, and it would snatch away the chaff, and it was strong enough to carry the chaff away, Martha, but it was gentle enough to lead back the grain. God could have bust every head that was there. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach today. Boy, God could have killed every joker that was out there praising. He could have struck them dead. Bible says Ahio was walking out in front of the car. He was strong enough to deal with Uzzah. And yet he was gentle enough. Man, who wouldn't serve a God like that? He been gentle enough to let me make it all the times that I done transgressed his law. I'm using my name, so you ain't got to feel bad. I'm not talking about you. I'm thinking about the stuff that I done. Don't feel bad when you in my office and you telling me something crazy you done. It probably don't amount to what I done. That's why I'm so calm when I sit there and I listen. And yet this God, listen, here's what I want you to do. Close your eyes. I want you to think about something crazy you no doubt probably did last week. Somebody looked at me like, excuse me, that's what I said. I ain't going to call your name out. Think about something crazy you probably did last week. And I want you to say, God, I actually want you to say this. God, I thank you. I can't hear you. Do you see how you get quiet when you tell folks think about their sin? They don't want to say nothing. Say, God, I thank you that you were strong enough to deal with the sin, but you were gentle enough to give me another chance. I ain't never heard y'all so quiet in my life. I ain't never heard y'all so quiet in my life. The record is, the man of Beth Shemesh posed two deeply poignant interrogative. They said, who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God? And to whom shall he go up from us? And then David said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Here's the answer. In reverent worship. God ain't asking for a whole lot, Jane. He just asking for reverent worship. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this message, lethal worship. We thank you for caring enough about your children, caring enough about us to give us the paradigm for drawing near you lest we be struck like Uzzah. And then giving us the mercy every time we crazy enough to step outside the lines. Father God, we love you and thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.